The student union is underwritten by Lutheran High School Association. Two schools, one mission. Become one of the thousands prepared for successful Christian leadership. The Lutheran High School Association, nurturing Christian hearts, building strong minds. LHSASTL.org. LHSASTL.org.
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Welcome back to the Student Union, everyone. I'm your host, the Chancellor, Pastor Marcus Zill. It's a beautiful fall day here on the campus of LCMSU. The leaves are changing colors and falling down, and the tests are the order of the day. Midterms, anyone? One study break coming up. We are pleased here today to have with us this week a student, Noah Hahn. How are you doing, Noah?
I'm doing just fantastic. Thank you, Pastor Zill.
It's great to have you with us. Noah is a student at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Why don't you tell us, where you're from, what your major is, all that kind of typical stuff.
Sure. Well, my family and I live in Wisconsin Dells. My sister and I attend Concordia, and we're really happy to be there. I am double majoring in philosophy and theological languages. My plan is to go to seminary after I graduate, so that's pretty exciting. I've really loved getting to know the theology and philosophy faculty at Mequon, and I've just been so blessed to have them.
Well, that's fantastic. One, and I've actually known Noah for a while. We met. Noah is a part of a group at Concordia University in Wisconsin that puts on an apologetics conference, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Mm-hmm. But for starters, just in case there's a little lag time, why don't you tell our listeners, where are you right now?
I'm calling in from Cambridge in England. So I'm doing a semester abroad right now at Westfield House, which is the seminary of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, the ELCE. Well, that's very important, that last letter, ELCE. and going to lectures at Cambridge University and having classes here at Westfield House and getting to see a little bit of Europe once in a while.
And how many students are there? I mean, to give our listeners an idea of what kind of an environment this is like.
Sure. Well, we've got about 20 students here from different schools. Most all of them are different Concordias. And we're all here taking different classes, and they have put up a little dorm space called Luther Hall for us to live in. We make our own food, go to class, and put up with each other. No, it's a good community.
And have you had a chance to kind of get around and see some things in England and maybe around Europe since you've been there?
We have. I've just been struck by the fact that some of these places in Europe, the new buildings are older than the United States. And then the old buildings are really something. We've been able to travel to, we did a week in Italy, and that was cool. We were able to see Rome, we were able to see Venice, we even hiked up Mount Vesuvius.
Excellent. I hope it was a cold day.
We managed.
Yeah, it's a dormant volcano, right?
It's actually not. It hasn't erupted in longer than the normal period between eruptions. So, and they're predicting that if it erupts again, it's going to be a big one.
Wow!
But they give it about a week's notice. They can predict it about a week in advance, which I didn't think was very long.
Yeah, that's. So you've had a great semester there, and then you go back to Mequon and you finish up and graduate this spring. Is that the plan?
That's the plan, and it's been working well so far. I'll finish up some things I need to finish up with my senior thesis, and I'll keep going to church and seeing my friends and enjoying the last semester.
Now, where do you, what's the church life like there in England in terms of, I imagine there aren't that many Lutherans around?
No, it's pretty thoroughly Anglican, as you would expect. But there are some really wonderful opportunities at some of the different colleges at Cambridge University. For example, St. John's or King's College, their choirs are just completely amazing. Mm-hmm. And they do even songs or choral vespers, that sort of a thing. And it's just top notch.
Well, that's fantastic. And when you're back at Mequon, just to give a little shout out at Concordia University, Wisconsin, I guess I had a chance to see you at one of our LCMSU chapters at Luther Memorial Chapel and Student Center.
That's right. LMC has been just one of the biggest influences on my college life. I mean, Pastor Weeding is fantastic. The events they put on are wonderful. All the kids who go there are close. We get along well. We learn. We get the body and blood of Christ and great preaching every week. It's a great student ministry.
Well, thank you. Since I filled in there 1 week about 3-4 months ago, I'll take that as a compliment.
Please do.
No, it's one of the great joys that I get around. I get a chance to get around and see our various campus ministries and Luther Memorial there in Shorewood, just south of Mequon. There's a lot of choices that people have to go to church on Sunday, but they do such a tremendous job. Kind of a nice mix of CUW students, as well as students from the Milwaukee School of Engineering, and of course, University of Wisconsin at Milwaukee. And anyways, well, Noah, you and I actually have had a chance to even gallivant around a little, and you've been spending a lot of time in Europe. We were in Europe together at the International Academy of Apologetics, Human Rights,
yep,
and
that's
such
right,
in Strasbourg this summer. Tell everyone What is that couple of weeks like to be in Strasbourg, France, Dr. Warwick Montgomery, John Warwick Montgomery, Craig Parton? Tell us just a little bit of background about that week. We should give a shout out for what they do.
Oh, we definitely should. Well, it would take an entire 20 minutes to describe just the basics of what Dr. Montgomery's done, but this academy that he puts on is a 2-week intensive series of sessions and talks on apologetics, especially apologetics, although we touch a little bit on evangelism and human rights. For those of you who maybe aren't that familiar with apologetics, quite simply, apologetics is about all the different ways that Christians are able to engage the secular world by offering an answer or a defense for this faith that we have. And Dr. Montgomery has done so much work in this area, and it's just been such a privilege to learn from him and to sit in on his sessions and talk to him in person. And I mean, I think you would agree with that, wouldn't you, Pastor Zell?
Oh, absolutely. To hear Dr. Montgomery talk about biblical inerrancy, that was a true highlight for me. Not going to lie, a lot of stuff kind of goes right over my head when we got into the field of science, but we'll talk about that a little bit in a few minutes. But no, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery has been just a warrior in terms of keeping this field in front of us and the need for it. And it's kind of interesting because historically we haven't always thought that we needed to have this this kind of discipline of apologetics, mm-hmm, in terms of evangelism outreach. But almost every campus pastor and every college student will tell you, wow, we need this kind of training. And it seems like even though maybe 30, 40 years ago, it seemed like maybe it wasn't as necessary, we found out that the world has certainly changed. And now in many ways, evangelism on a secular college campus has to include apologetics. There's just no way around it.
And oh, yeah, so, especially on the college campus, definitely.
So, no, it was a fantastic experience. Professor Rod Rosenblatt, Craig Parton, of course, The Defense Never Rests. And we highlighted apologetics with our very first LCMSU conference at Unwrapped. Now, I don't think you were at Unwrapped.
No, I wasn't, and I regret that greatly because what a wonderful way to be spreading that in the Synod. We need so much more of it.
Well, and that gets us to one of the things I wanted to talk to you a little bit about. You and a group of students at Concordia, Wisconsin, kind of took it upon yourselves to start a group to put on a conference at Mequon, at the university, on apologetics. Tell us about the genesis of that. How did you guys start your group? How did this come to be? And how did the first conference go last year?
Sure. Well, the organization is, it's called UPCO, and that stands for the Undergraduate Pre-Professional Church Work Organization. You don't have to be able to say all that to be a member. We work on ministering to and helping out church work students in general through just having talks with professors and servant events. The founder of the organization, the first president, Jacob Bidwell, had this idea that we should do an apologetics conference. And for a while, it was just kind of an idea. Then after a while, I wound up as the president, and someone told me about the idea, and I said, guys, let's do this. And they said, if I was willing to take it up, we would do it. And I said, let's do it. So we threw it together. We did our best. We were novices. We definitely give a shout out to Dr. John Overdeck for really being the voice of reason and the kind of the sanity in the whole process. But it went down in April of this year, and it was just a complete success. Everyone who attended was pumped about it. They were excited. They wanted to come back. And just not long after, we decided we're going to make this a regular thing and we're going to do it again. So
now,
who
did you have? Who were kind of your main speakers last? Was it last April?
Yeah, end of April.
Okay, and I was there. I should remember, but it's more interesting if you tell everyone. Who were the main speakers that you brought in last time?
Well, one of them was Gary Habermas. Dr. Habermas is a really accomplished guy. He teaches at Liberty University. He was friends with Anthony Flew, if that means anything to some of our listeners.
Okay.
He's done a lot of writing and work on the philosophy of miracles. So he gave us some great talks on the resurrection. And Mr. Craig Parton was our other speaker, kind of one of the premier Lutheran apologists right now. And he was a fantastic, and as we expected. So that was how it went.
And then, of course, you had a lot of different sectionals, and it was just the conference typically starts Friday afternoon, and then goes most of the day Saturday, kind of a thing. Isn't it kind of a 24-hour thing?
Yeah, that's the plan. We are going to do. We're going to keep probably mostly the same basic structure, date and time wise, but we are going to do some serious revisions because we've learned a lot from our first endeavor. So.
And you have a student group. I mean, there's some other students that are kind of helping with this, right? So it's kind of a student-led coalition along with some support from various individuals, including,
I would assume,
Dr. Angus Manoj is very supportive of this.
He is. Dr. Manoj is kind of the chief apologist of our university. He was the one who was able to help us get our plenary speakers by helping us get into contact with them. But as far as the conference itself, it's totally student-led, student-organized, certainly not just me. I mean, we had a good core band of motivated and dedicated students, and they were able to organize, you know, volunteer work for different parts of the conference, you know, who's organizing meals, who's booking rooms. So it was a team effort and a worthwhile one, I think.
Well, that's fantastic. So real quick, and then I want to ask you some questions about the field of apologetics and why this is so important to you. But tell us, do you have a date for the upcoming conference and any other plans underway? I don't know, maybe it's too early to have too much about speakers, but what can you tell us about the upcoming conference this spring?
Well, yeah, you're right about the speakers. We're still working on contacting them. I could tell you with some certainty who they're going to be, but until we know for sure, I'm just gonna keep that to myself.
Well, I know
but,
one thing.
The dates.
I'm going to be there. I'm going to
well,
be
good.
I was asked to do a sectional, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so see, you have an official speaker.
Well, definitely. I mean, you're definitely going to hopefully give a great talk,
no,
which we know you will.
Well, yeah. As long as it's above mediocre, that's what I'm shooting for. But. So when are the dates?
March 4th through 5th,
okay.
2016.
Well, it is a fantastic conference. I was very pleased to be there last year, and you know, apologetics is so very, very important to everybody in LCMSU land. And so all of you are out there in shouting distance, you know, driving distance of Concordia, Wisconsin. You know, it's an awesome, awesome opportunity to get away, you know, road trip a little bit, get up to one of our Concordias, support a wonderful cause, and hear some great lectures in theology and worship and a special challenge. I want to challenge the Concordia Chicago students. Professor Gard, if you're listening, and if this gets back to you, I think you need to find a way to see if you can get some folks from River Forest, from Concordia Chicago, to head up. It would be truly fantastic to get as many college students from some of the outlying places that can make it there as possible.
Absolutely.
So now the topic this year, well, real quick, Why is this? I mean, you've gone to Strasbourg, France. You're studying some of these things, maybe in merry old England right now. You've right. helped put on these conferences. Why is this topic so important to you? What is it about the field of it? Why do you think this is so crucial?
Well, I think it's been a crucial issue for me personally, but I've come to believe that it's a crucial issue in and of itself and for everyone. For my part, those who know me well know that I'm a incredibly skeptical person. There were times in my life when I really questioned a lot of what I believed, and I started to seek out answers and new ways of looking at things. And I was pleased to find that the field of apologetics existed, and that I was not the first person to ask these questions, and that there were answers out there. And so as soon as I realized that there were answers to my questions and ways to help me understand things better, I developed a passion for helping others who are struggling with similar or different issues pertaining to their faith. So in that sense, apologetics can be a wonderful ministry tool to people who already believe in Jesus, but they just have doubts or questions. It can be an inreach tool as well as an outreach tool. So it's been a personal journey for me, but I'm passionate about sharing it with others.
Well, one of the things that was interesting to me in Strasbourg was had a panel discussion with Dr. Montgomery, Dr. Rosenblatt from Concordia University Irvine, and then Craig Parton.
Dr. Wilder Smith.
And Dr. Wilder Smith, too. But if you leave him out just for a moment, we'll get to him. But the other three, you know, and I brought up some campus ministry things and whatnot, and we went back and forth. But what was interesting to me is that all three of these men weren't, in my estimation, they weren't Lutherans when they were on campus, and many of them were skeptical themselves. And so it just, to me, it kind of underscores that the college age is really an age of skepticism. You go off to the academy, you go off to the university, you're getting pummeled with these questions from atheists and agnostics, from those that aren't as grounded in their faith. And it seems to me that anything that we can do to really, you know, I know you go to Concordia, Wisconsin there, and there's obviously a higher percentage of Lutherans and Christians overall, just by nature of the school. But most of our students don't have that. So don't you think this is extra important for those that go, you know, to develop apologetics tools for those that are on our campuses, like at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee or community colleges?
Yeah, I mean, the Christian faith is true. It's always been true, and that truth can stand up even at a secular university. You mentioned the guys who are teaching at the apologetics conference. Dr. Montgomery himself, if I have my facts straight, he was converted in the college dorms by a senior who decided to live with the freshmen his senior year to go evangelize them.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I mean, just
and
just
then he went back to his pastor and said, "Why haven't you taught me this before in 19 years?"
Boy, and I wouldn't want Dr. Monk. No, but Dr. Monk. I mean, ponder this. If someone doesn't take the time to reach out and say, "You know what? Yeah, I can go live off campus and get on with my life and what I want to do for my no, I want to be on campus so that I can evangelize." And one of the people that they happen to spend time with happens to be one of the greatest thinkers in the field of apologetics itself, and Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. That is really quite an awesome story.
Yeah, and there's plenty more where that came from. His biography is out now, and it's his autobiography, actually, and it's a great read.
No, it's fantastic. Say, we just have like 3 or 4 minutes left here, and that you mentioned that there was another individual at Strasbourg this summer, Dr. Oliver Wilder Smith, and he talked a lot about science, and I mentioned that this is not my strong suit, but he actually made it very understandable to me. But did his talks about science have an impact on maybe the themes that you're looking at for your conference at MechWAN this spring?
You know, maybe subconsciously they did. We were, as far as the conference itself, yeah, the general theme is going to be science and faith. This is actually the first place I'm announcing that. So to all our listeners, science and faith, the official conference title is Truth on Trial. And we're talking about science and faith in today's world. So, but yeah, Dr. Wilder Smith was a great guy to listen to. And I think to hear him explore the relationship between science and faith in a way that was so confident and from a guy who is a world-class scientist was really inspiring and encouraging.
Well, sorry if I outed you on the theme. I didn't mean to, I didn't mean to do that, but it sounds...
Oh, no, that's for all intents and purposes, that's public.
And why do you think this is such an important topic for young people today, science and faith? And what kind of tips can you give, in your own studies and from your time this summer? We just got a couple minutes here, but what kind of tips can you give college students out there for how to even approach this task?
Come to the conference.
Good answer.
We have a Facebook page. It's just Concordia Apologetics Conference. Like the page and you'll get the updates. But just as far as your question goes, I think that Christians should not be afraid of science. Science is a gift of God. It's a tool for exploring God's word. When science and faith seem to conflict, we don't need to panic. We run to God's word, find out exactly what it is he's telling us, and we know that what he's going to tell us is true. God's not going to lie unless we make him say something he hasn't said. And then we go out into the world and we explore the world and we do science. They're two different, science and faith are two different things, and they can coexist in harmony.
No, and that's very well put. Sometimes I think we're afraid of science, and we don't need to be. I mean, science, God works through means. He works through all the disciplines and all the various fields. Some of them, of course, can be corrupted here or there by how people can hijack them. But science itself is a tool, and it's a gift of God. Mm-hmm. We don't need to be afraid of it or afraid of how it might conflict with the Word of God. So, anyways, Noah, it is fantastic to have you with us. God bless you as you wrap up your studies in merry old England. Try to take in some Monty Python sites, or I know they're not doing their thing anymore, but see some Shakespeare and some plays. Have you gotten a chance to do any of that kind of stuff?
I actually have not been to a play yet, but I have been to a castle. Is that good enough?
That'll work. That'll work. Just be careful when you get too close. There's some Frenchmen there. They might throw some stuff over the side. But anyways.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's fantastic. And, I haven't mentioned this before, but we are exploring potentially having a LCMSU study abroad program Who knows, maybe next year or two, maybe we'll have a conference somewhere over in Europe where we can get college students from all over the world to get them a chance to explore the sites, go to Wittenberg, go to some other places, and learn theology with people from all over the world. I think that'd be fantastic.
That certainly would be.
Anyways. Wow. Well, hey, take care. Good to talk to you, my friend. Have a wonderful rest of the semester. Give our best to everybody there at the Westfield House. I know my boss, Pastor Bart Day, was at Westfield House for a time when he was in college or maybe in seminary. And, a lot of people have been over there. And give them our best, and we'll look forward to seeing you back stateside. And, of course, seeing you in March at Mequon for the Concordia Apologetics Conference. Take care, Noah.
Thank you so much.
No, now go away or I shall taunt you a second time.
Well, that should about do it here on the campus of LCMSU. God's blessings to all of you out there on campus, including all of you like Noah. We're studying abroad. Trust me, you've made your parents' wallets lighter and the rest of us quite jealous. The bottom line is that wherever you go to school, even if you're overseas or studying abroad, join us every week here in the Student Union. If you can't wait, don't forget you can download all the archives of this program at kfuo.org. And remember, college is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help.